Amen. Thank God it did. You can remain standing and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 26, if you will. Genesis chapter number 26. And again tonight, I don't think I've got a lengthy message. I've got a few thoughts. Now this one's a little bit more possible that it could run a few rabbits than the last one that I had was short. This one I've just actually got some thoughts, but there's a lot of things that could develop in that. I'm not going to try to do that. I'll try to just mind the Lord and see where He wants us to go and try to go that route. But I'll try to just mind the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the church here. This is only the second church that I've ever pastored, and I don't know how a lot of things are. I hear stories, and I know about how things are. I do know this. I know people are the same. It don't matter where you go. There's people back at Vision that I could name, that I could put their name to y'all, and it fit. I mean, your personalities are those ways. And then some of you, you're just different from anybody I've ever met. No, I'm just kidding. But I thank the Lord for the way that I feel like that we've worked together and that things have come together. It's a real blessing. And in that, I think that's how family is. Sister Jennifer mentioned about her mother-in-law, said she loves her as much as her own mother. And that, I feel that way about my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. You hear stories, you know, all these, oh, this bad mother-in-laws. Oh, that is bad. And father-in-laws and all that. But I'm an in-law. I'm a son-in-law. And now I'm a father-in-law. Amen. But when God adds to the family, whether it's a baby or whether it's an in-law, I think that's a blessing of God. Amen. And we need to work together and not make it. We ain't outlaws. We ain't fighting one another. Amen. You've heard the story of the difference in in-laws and outlaws. Outlaws are wanted. You ever heard that? Amen. But I don't think it ought to be that way. Amen. Amen. All right. I thank the Lord for His blessings. I really do. I appreciate my father-in-law riding up with me. We've had good fellowship together. And, of course, I haven't done much today but eat and preach and sleep. I mean, that's the job of a preacher on Sunday. Amen. And that's all I've done. But we've had good fellowship, and I thank the Lord for it. Genesis chapter 26, if you found your place there, verse number 17. And I'm going to give you a thought, something that I jotted down in the margin of my Bible a few years ago in a meeting. A man made some comments. I jotted these sounds and things down in my Bible, and it spoke to me. And I felt like this is where we'd look at this evening. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, it looks like it's a capital E, Gerar. And dwelt there, and I said capital, it's a hard E, looks like a Gerar. All right. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. I'm going to take my text from verse 25. I want to read that verse again. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. There are three there's in that verse. There's an altar there, there's a tent there, and there's a well there. Thank God. Amen. And I want to preach on an altar, a tent, and a well tonight by the help of the Lord. Brother Mackey, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. We're grateful and thankful for your blessings. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching on the thought, an altar, a tent, and a well from verse number 25. Now, let me just say by way of introduction that I am amazed in the book of Genesis at I'm amazed how God lays it out. But He's got these three generations that He deals prominently with. That is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He actually, throughout history, He becomes known as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But there's so much said about Abraham, and there's quite a bit said about Jacob. But it's almost as if Isaac is just sort of sandwiched in there. I'm not sure that I know all about why that is, except that I think Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son. He's the Son of promise. He's the Son that becomes a sacrifice. He's the Son that waits for a bride. Amen. And He goes, matter of fact, you don't see Him after the sacrifice. You don't see Him again until that bride comes in and is brought to Him. And just several ways that our Lord, that you can see our Lord in Isaac. And so, since it's the Old Testament, our Lord's only in shadows in the Old Testament. And so maybe that's why not so much said about Isaac. Somebody has said, you know, Isaac really is not that prominent. Isaac's never really did anything. He stayed in his dad's shadow. And I guess that probably is true in a lot of ways. And then in some ways he was overshadowed by his sons, Jacob and Esau. They were so colorful. They were so predominant that they overshadowed perhaps even their own dad. But there's nothing wrong and there's no shame in being the second man or being the sandwiched in between man. The man whose name is not always first. Amen. You don't have to be the first in line all the time. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being the second one, especially when your name's sandwiched in among such great names as Abraham and as Jacob. Those are great names. Amen. And so Isaac's mentioned there. But I thought also about this, that Isaac does have the prominence or has a prestige that God links his name with his name and says he's the God of Abraham. And he's the God of Isaac as much as he's the God of Abraham. Amen. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob as well. And so there's a great prominence there. But in that, I think about him in his introduction. He has great parentage. He comes from the line of Abraham and Sarah. He has great posterity. In other words, he has children that follows him. And he's got Jacob and, of course, Esau. And then Jacob has all those children that follow him. He's got a great prosperity in the fact that he's a wealthy man, even though he's wandering in the wilderness, so to speak. He's not in the city of Ur of the Chaldees, but he's in that desert land that the Lord sent Abraham to, and God promised that land to Abraham, and Isaac is the inheritor of the promise and the inheritor of the land. But he's not only the inheritor of the promise for the land, but he's the inheritor of the promise for the Lord, because it's through the loins of Isaac that our Lord Jesus would come. And so he's got great parentage, he's got great posterity, he's got great prosperity, but he's also got great problems. Amen. The more opportunity you have, probably the more opposition you're going to face. If God grants you an opportunity to be on the front lines, just be warned that that's where the enemy opens fire at. Amen. is on the front line. If God gives you opportunity to be used of God, the devil's going to do his best to attack, and sometimes maybe even family or friends may misunderstand. The flesh will attack and there'll be great problems involved in that. And I see in this text, Isaac departs and goes about trying to dig wells and redig wells and dig new wells. He'll dig a well and God blesses him with a well that his father dug. He redigs that well and the servants around there, the neighbors around there began to strive for that well and they began to argue for that well. He goes on and digs another well. By the way, I'm glad that Isaac didn't give up. He just dug another well. Amen. Somebody wrote a song about that. When things get hard, it said, don't sit around waiting for a check in the mail. Just pick up your shovel and dig another well. Amen. And that's truth in that. I'm glad Isaac was one that was willing to just keep on keeping on. His dad taught him to be an altar builder. His dad taught him to be a tent dweller. And his dad taught him to be a well digger. Amen. And he did those things and kept on doing those even though the enemy strove against him. Even though the neighbors didn't like it, he just kept doing what he'd been taught to do and what he knew was right. He just kept doing that. Amen. And he kept digging wells until he finally dug one that the Bible said they didn't strive for. And he named all those wells, and those names have meaning. And that's not my sermon. I didn't even look them up for this message. But they have meaning in there. But he just kept digging wells. So I got down to verse 25, and that's where my text is. And really, because that's where Isaac, his life don't end there, but the real focus on Isaac shifts after this time. Because you go on down in there and you've got Esau and Jacob and they start becoming more and more prominent as things go. So in the life of Isaac, there's these three points of promise and prominent points in his life, and that's the altar, the tent, and the well. Verse 25, and he builded there, or and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. That's what an altar is for, by the way. It's to call on God. Amen. And pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. So you've got an altar, a tent, and a well. Three things about this. The altar is a place of devotions. Everybody in their life, young person to old person, needs a place of devotion. Amen. When I'm talking about devotions, I'm not talking about the little book that you get out and read along with your scripture and you read the little story. Those are good. Those are fine. I'm not against those. I'm even for the books that, you know, you open up that's got the whole year and some of those have some wonderful thoughts and they're seed thoughts. By the way, they're not meant to be your devotion. They're meant to get you started in devotion. Amen. And what that idea is that you have devoted time to spend time secret with God, time alone with God. When I say secret, you can do it as a family. There's nothing wrong with family devotions, but it's between you and God or the family and God. It's not something to advertise to the world. It's not something to bring the world in. It is something just between you, your family, and God. Amen. And we need some devoted saints in this day. Amen. And we need to get back to family altar and family devotion and devoted people of God. Amen. I think every family ought to have a church pew. Amen. They ought to, in other words, they ought to have a place that they're going to be come Sunday morning, come Sunday night, and come midweek service. They're going to be there. They expect the family to be there. I believe that's right. I believe every family ought to have family devotions. Amen. And whether or not you're organized with it, I'd advise you, it'll be more accurate and it'll be more consistent if you will get organized in it. Amen. And if you start even before the children get there, that'll help. Amen. And then just keep on keeping on with it. But have a place of devotions, a place where you get along with God. Now this building of this altar shows His devotion. One of the things when Israel turn away from God, they get devoted to false gods. You know what they do? They start building altars to those false gods. They're showing their devotion to those gods. We're living in a day when people are devoted to their automobile, but they're not devoted to God. They're devoted to their ball team, but they're not devoted to God. They're devoted to their favorite show, but they're not devoted to God. They're devoted to a political party, but they're not devoted. I could just go on and on and on down the line. We've got a day when people are devoted, but they're not devoted to the things that matter, amen, and not devoted to the things that's going to mean the most. But that altar is twofold. That is a place of submission. That's a place where you kneel down. That's a place where you recognize how great God is, how good God is, amen, and you want to just show your devotion and praise and worship unto Him, amen. It's a place of submission. Lot followed Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And you know the story. Lot divided, when they came to the dividing time, Lot looked out towards the well-watered plains of Sodom. And the Bible said that Abraham built an altar there. And then when they separated, God went on a little ways and built another, or Abraham went on and built another altar. But you never read Lot ever going to another altar. Amen. I think that was the downfall of his life, and it caused him to wreck his life, wreck the life of his wife and the life of his children, and the whole, for generations to come, their lives were wrecked because of his lack of devotion. He was not submitted to God. He wanted to go his own way. I want to warn you, you can go your own way, and God may not stop you, but like Brother Milby said, but you won't stop God when judgment day comes either. Amen. There's a place of devotions. That altar is a place of submission, but it's also a place of sacrifice. That altar is where you offer your sacrifice upon. Amen. Brother Vincent was reading this morning and commented a little bit on that about Gideon and the sacrifice that was made there. He had told me over the phone about something that he'd read that John Butler had said, I think, and that he'd read about that sacrifice. And I told him about the book that y'all got me for my birthday by Brother James Knox on a New Testament survey. It's an overview of the New Testament. And I've been reading in it. I read through, actually through the first four Gospels and then through the book of Acts so far in his book. We just started on the book of Romans. And in the end of each book, he deals with his favorite text or a text that speaks to him in a special way. And in the book of Luke, his text was Luke chapter 17 and verse number 10, where the Bible says that when you've done all, and I can't quote exactly, but just paraphrase, when you've done all that has been commanded you, and it comes time for you to speak of your master, then he said, then we will say, we are an unprofitable servant, that we've only done what was required of us, or as Paul said in the book of Romans, that we have done that which is our reasonable service. And Brother Knox said this, he said, when I've gone as far as I can go, when I've done as much as I can do, when I have given as much as I can give, and I get down to payday, he said, Jesus won't even owe me a thank you for all he's done for me. Amen. I'll owe him, but he won't owe me, and he'll be a debtor to no man. Amen. But I want to tell you, we're living in a day when people don't want to sacrifice. I mean, it's just too hard to go to church again on Sunday night after going on Sunday morning, or it's just too far to drive, or it's just too much to do. Amen. I mean, they got all kinds of excuses that people come up with why they can't. And going to church, by the way, is not serving God. That's the least of our service unto the Lord. Amen. But you won't do much serving Him if you don't show up at the house of God. I think that's right. Amen. But it's a place of sacrifice. And we go back to thinking about Rick being here this morning. I'm telling you, these military men sacrifice. They sacrifice. They sacrifice eating what they want to eat. They sacrifice doing what they want to do. They sacrifice going where they want to go. Why do they do that? So you and I can enjoy our liberties and our freedoms. And we ought to thank God for that. Amen. But it's time we got some Christians that'll sacrifice a meal now and then. Amen. It'll sacrifice some time going where they want to go, doing what they want to do, and spend some time in prayer, in devotion, in secret, getting a hold of God. Amen. I am convinced, I'm going to move on, but I am convinced that the secret of revival is secret prayer. I believe when people get under a burden and get to calling on God in secret, God will reward them openly. Amen. He had a place of devotion. There's an altar there. Number two, he had a place to dwell. That's the tent there. Amen. And he said, he pitched his tent there. That place to dwell. He had a home. Amen. Amen. I believe one of the reasons why we don't have a home, and I'm not talking about a roof over our head. That's not a home. That can be a motel. I mean, it could be a lot of things just with a roof over your head. But a home is where people have fellowship. That's what it's about, by the way. It is fellowship. Amen. Daddy loving mama, mama loving daddy, parents loving children, children loving parents. Amen. That's what makes a home. You don't have to have all kinds of fancy devices and fancy things. Amen. To make a home. Isaac had a home, and it was one that moved. He didn't even have wheels to roll it on. He rolled it up every little bit and moved on somewhere else. Amen. I'm telling you, Isaac didn't have fancy things, but he had a home. Amen. A dwelling place. There's fellowship there. Amen. And we ought to pray for a happy home. The devil's doing his best to attack the home today. Amen. Amen. He's doing his best to attack the home in a lot of ways. I can say a lot of things about that. But we need to pray. We need to pray for our own home. Then we need to pray for others. The homes of others. Amen. Sometimes there's things going on we don't even know. My dad said one time about this. He said, I'm convinced a lot of times we pray wrong. He said, we pray about homes we think are in trouble, when we might ought to be praying for homes we think are strong. Amen. That might be the one where the trouble's at. And you never know. You never know. But a home's a dwelling place. It's not only that, but this tent also shows a detachment. He left one place and established his home in another place. Amen. And you can't hardly get away from separation in this Bible. It's just all over. Amen. God never intended on us living like the world. God never intended on us living like Sodom. By the way, never intended on us taking our tent to Sodom and pitching our tent toward Sodom or in Sodom. And he never intended on us getting Sodom and putting it in our home. Amen. He never intended on us living like the world. Amen. He intended on us being different. And there ought to be a detachment. Amen. My wife is not your wife. Your wife's not my wife. Say amen right there. That's right. Amen. My children, God gave them to me to raise. I got on that a little bit this morning. God gave you yours to raise. That's the way it is. That's the way it ought to be, by the way. Amen. Amen. And we don't have to keep up with the Joneses, as they say. Amen. There's a place for devotions and there's a place to dwell. And then last of all, and this is probably the best of all, there's a place to drink. Amen. And his servants digged a well there. Amen. I'm going to tell you where you'll find water for your soul. It's when you've got a place that's got an altar. Amen. When you've got a place where you can get to God and get with God. Amen. And especially when you can get your family in that place. Amen. I'd hate to pack up my home and move to a place where there was no altar there. I'm talking about no church, no way of getting with God. Amen. I know you can do it by yourself. You can get in your closet, and we ought to, even amongst all the liberties and freedoms that we have, we ought to do that more among ourselves. But thank God for the fellowship of the saints. Amen. We need that. Amen. We need the strength that we draw from one another. We need the encouragement that we draw from one another. And that's what our families need. Amen. Sister Stephanie said, thank God for a church that loves children. And by the way, we ought to love children. Amen. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white. Amen. We ought to love them all because they're precious in God's sight. Amen. Amen. Joshua showed me a little thing the other day. This fellow's making a joke about these atheists. He's talking about churches for atheists. He said, what do they sing? Nobody loves me. This I know. That's what he said. Nobody loves the little children. Good night. I didn't mean to get off on that. But we need the strength that we draw from each other. And talking about getting back to that thing about the children. Our children need to see you being faithful to the house of God. Amen. They need to see their neighbors, their loved ones. Amen. Being faithful to the house of God. They need to see what just went on here this morning. People testifying and bragging on God. People saying how they love somebody. People praying for somebody. Weeping over somebody. They need to see all that. Amen. If they don't, I'm going to tell you what they're going to think all this world is just killing one another. And that's about what it's come to, ain't it? The television shows, the video games, ain't that right now? About all it's come to is just shoot and kill and Big dog wins. I mean, that's about the way it's come. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. Amen. And they need to see that people love one another. And by the way, how do they love one another? They first got to know love. And they only know love when they come to know God. Amen. Amen. But he deals with this thing about the well. There's something to drink. There's two things about there. First of all, I see Isaac is dependent on water. Amen. All of his flock depended on water. His whole family depended on water. His whole household depended on water. I'm telling you, you and I depend on water. And water is the Word. Amen. We depend on it. Amen. We depend on it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Brother Vincent said it about, and I believe it's, isn't it Job? Or Jeremiah talked about esteeming the Word of God above his daily food. Job, all right. And he esteemed it greater and more necessary than his daily food. Amen. I'm telling you, I like to eat, and I don't just like to eat one time a day. Unless it's all day long, amen. Then that'd be all right. But seriously, I like to eat, and I need to eat. Amen. I mean, it takes food to energize this fella. I don't run on air. You think I do? Amen. I don't run on wind. Amen. I'm powered by food. But I'm going to tell you, the spirit of man needs the water of the Word of God. Amen. He'll dry up. He'll die out. Amen. He'll get like a desert place without the water of the Word of God. But the water is not just the Word. It's the Spirit. Amen. Just the Word alone will kill. That's what the Bible said. The letter of the law killeth. But thank God for the Spirit that maketh alive. Amen. And Isaac recognized that. I don't know all about Isaac's devotion, but he was a praying man, no doubt about that. He knew something about getting with God, and God recognized him right in that list of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Amen. And I believe that he was a praying man, and he walked with God and knew something about God. I believe he read what he knew of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. He was a Bible-loving man. He depended on the water of the Word and the Spirit of God. Dependent on that. And by the way, our churches are dependent on it. Amen. This church is no different than, and I'm talking about a real church, is dependent on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You can run them with business manuals, but you need a businessman to do it, and I'm not a businessman. I don't have the eloquence, I don't have the ability, but I know this. The only way that God can use me to help the church is through His Spirit and through His Word. And I'm dependent on it, and you're dependent on it. Amen. I mean, that's just right. You can build a church on singings, you can build a church on programs, you can build a church on a lot of these things that they talk about, but it won't be a real church. They won't have the power of God. It might have a shell. It might look fine, but it won't be a real church. For sinners to get saved, there must be the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Nobody gets saved apart from that. Nobody. Nobody gets saved apart from that. I don't care how much they feel. I don't care how bright the light. I don't care about any of those things. Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in their heart. Amen. I know that's right. Amen. We're dependent upon that. We've got to have a place to drink. Amen. Then my last thing, not only was he dependent on that well, but he digged the well. Digging requires effort. It requires getting some dirt out of the way. Isn't that right? Digging requires some perspiring. I've never done a great deal of digging in my life, but several years ago when I was working in the glass factory, there was a man working there that I had respect for. He was a good-hearted man. And I believe it was his uncle had passed away. He was in his 80s. And they were country folk. And his uncle had come up in the days where you hand-dug graves. His uncle was a grave digger. When his uncle died, his only request was that his family and friends dig him a grave. He didn't want a machine out there doing it. He wanted people to follow his tradition. I didn't know him. I never met him. I just heard the story. When he died, I volunteered to go help him dig that grave. Only grave I've ever dug. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you get in there digging, and wells go even deeper. I mean, you don't quit at 6 feet in a well. You keep digging and digging and digging and digging. I'm telling you this Word of God, if you're going to get something from God, you may have to dig a while. But if you'll keep digging, somewhere along the line, something will jump out at you. Amen. Something will spring forth out of the well. Sometimes in prayer, it takes some effort. Just going in and saying a word. Just reading the list. Listen, God's not taking our order. We don't just read a list to God. Amen. We're not just telling Him what we're wanting. We're pleading with God. And sometimes we may have to wrestle, amen, with these spiritual forces. We may have to wrestle in prayer, getting a hold of God. It may take some effort. It may take some devotion, but it'll pay off if we'll keep digging in that well of grace. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. That was short and sweet. Brother Ronnie Sutton says, that's short and sweet and hard to beat. Amen. I ain't saying about my preaching, but that's good thoughts from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, You'll take it and use it according to Thy will. Lord, I pray You'd help us as saints to have that place of devotion, an altar. Lord, help our homes. Please, Lord, help our homes. Father, I pray that You'd help us as individuals to have that secret devotion, that secret prayer. Lord, I pray You'd help us to have that dwelling place, a happy home. A home where God's exalted, God's honored, people love one another. And we're actually a blessing to society rather than a scourge. Rather than an expense. We're a blessing to society. Father, I pray You'd help us to have that place where the well is. That we keep digging in that well. We just keep believing God and trusting God, recognizing how dependent we are. Lord, how much we need Your breath. How much we need the Spirit of God. How much we need the Word of God in our services. Father, I pray not only bless the saint, Lord, help us that we might draw close to You. Lord, I pray bless the sinner with light. Bless the sinner with ears to hear, that he might run to God and respond by faith to what the Word of God has said. That they might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray use this message here in the church and over the radio that Thy will may be done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come on, do business with God.